And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Scott Spears along with you on this Wednesday, October the 19th, 2016, 1:14 coming up on 1:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And boy, do we have stuff going on. We want to thank Jim Fitzko from the Fraternal Order of Police for joining us in hour number one, and Pat Brickhouse, wife of late Cubs broadcaster Jack Brickhouse. Now, don't want you to forget that coming up tomorrow, October 20th, is the League of Women Voters Candidates Night, which will be covered right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM starting at 7:30. And prior to that program, from 7:15 till 7:30, we will have my exclusive interview with the first female Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright. We talked about Trump, Putin, who she has met, Hillary, emails, Benghazi, the whole thing, starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, 7:15, Madeleine Albright, followed by the League of Women Voters Candidates Night. Of course, tonight, Hillary, Donald, debate number 3. Everybody will be tuned into that. But one thing we're not so happy about right now is that the Chicago Cubs could possibly be on their way to the World Series for the first time in 71 years. 1945 was the last time they were there. It was a loss to the Tigers 4-3 in a 7-game series. The last time they won in the World Series was 1908, 108 years ago. Everybody says they're the best team in baseball this year. They did pretty well against the San Francisco Giants, and now we are playing the Los Angeles Dodgers. And last night, the Dodgers beat the Cubs 6-0, putting them ahead in this series 2-1. Two more games to go in Los Angeles before the World Series table will be set. Tonight you can watch that game starting at 8 o'clock, or watch the Cubs play the Dodgers in Game 4 of that series tonight at 8 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. Boy, oh boy, we are cheering for the Cubs. There is certainly no unbiased nature here when it comes to the Cubs at all, and that's why we are joined for the first 15 minutes of this program by legendary Cubs baseball announcer. We haven't heard him in quite a while, Harry Carey. Harry, how are you?
Hello again, everybody. This is Harry Carey, and what the heck is going on? The Cubbies are down 2-1 in this series, and we've got Lackey throwing today, so we've got to be ready.
Harry, what happened? Everybody has said the Cubs are the best team in baseball. I think we all concur. And then they lost 6-0 last night.
Well, you know, there's an interesting stat out there that the team with the best record in baseball only wins the World Series 30-some percent of the time. I think it's about 37% of the time.
Is that right?
That's exactly right. So I'm a little concerned. And last night I drank an extra case of Budweiser.
So you're saying we could be in for, please, to Harry, don't tell me we're in for another heartbreaker.
I'm not going to say that, but let's put it this way. If the Cubs lose this series, I'm going to have the jump-off concession at the Hancock Building. We're going to be leaping off that thing like lemmings.
You know, Harry, this, and that could be right, Harry, and this is the reason why they never had a bad point in the season. Everybody says they're the best team in baseball. The last time somebody said that about the Cubs, I don't think there's anybody still alive.
No, that's right. Well, you know, they were saying it when they lost to the Mets in 69, so I'm not saying anything. I'm just letting the series play out, but I have to confess I am drinking a little harder.
When the Dodgers won and made the series 1-1, I think we all kind of thought, well, that can happen. You know, teams can win games. That's okay.
That's right.
But after last night, does this put the big mo, as they say, the momentum with the Dodgers tonight? They are in L.A.
Well, we still have great pitching. And you know, you got to look at Lackey tonight, and we're still throwing great people at him. So we got to hope that we could just turn this thing around. And I think with one game tonight, they can do that. The Cubbies are going to turn it around.
Was talking to Pat Brickhouse earlier on, and she feels that tonight is make or break, that they do not want to go down 3-1 and have it all lie into one game.
That's exactly right. You know, my liver can't take much more of this.
I can imagine. It's probably been a rough time for you.
Yeah, and the Angels came up and told me I hit my limit last night, and if I didn't want to go to that other place, I had to stop drinking.
How
the beer down there is really warm.
Well, you know, we have had some nice weather around here. How is it up there in heaven these days?
Oh, it's always 78 degrees with a light breeze. It's beautiful.
Beautiful up there. Now, you're up there with the other great, of course, Jack Brickhouse, Ernie Banks. Is everybody excited?
Everybody was in our cheering section last night, and we were Tinkers to Evers to Chance was there, and we had just all kinds of great Cub people. Jack Brickhouse, of course, was broadcasting the game last night. Jack's even working today.
Is he?
That's right. Everybody. And Harry, yeah, I'm up here, and I'm doing the games with him.
Now, that is one of the greatest broadcasting pairings ever.
I think so, and Jack is really a fun guy, and we're having a great time up here, and God has given us the ability to look down on these games, and we're all pulling for the Cubs.
Is it just the curse of the goat? Are we just cursed forever?
I don't think so. I hope that tonight we just turn it around, and then that'll set up a good scenario to come back to Chicago and take it and go to the World Series.
If that should happen, and boy, wouldn't we like that, can you imagine a Chicago Cubs, Cleveland Indians, Midwest World Series?
I think that it's the basket of deplorables as far as baseball fans go. No, those poor guys have suffered for so long. It would be unbelievable if they both met in the series. Well deserved.
The Cubs are the last Cinderella story in baseball.
That's right.
What would this do if the Cubs went to the World Series? What would this do to television coverage, baseball ratings, coverage in newspapers and magazines? What do you think the outcry would be outside of Chicago?
Well, let's talk about one thing, what the parade would look like. It would look like China in downtown Chicago. And I think it would be great for baseball if the Cubs broke through, because look at 108, the White Sox and the Boston Red Sox, who had had the second and third greatest futility as far as the World Series was concerned, won it back-to-back, 2004-2005. So now it's only the Cubs standing as the team. The last time the Cubs won, Jesus was in high school. Holy cow. Orville and Wilbur had recently taken off from Kitty Hawk. Scott, Halley's Comet comes around more frequently.
Well, it's interesting having Pat Brickhouse on in hour number one. You know, Jack Brickhouse coined the phrase, anybody can have a bad century. Well, we're 8 years over that now.
That's right. Anybody could have a couple of bad centuries.
Why is it hard? Do you think nerves are playing into this out there? Do you think, because boy, we it could happen. Boy, it would light up Chicago.
Sure. Sure it is. There's a lot of pressure. I mean, people think this is a game, but you go out and try to pitch in front of the entire country with the idea that you haven't won a World Series since 2008, and tell me we wouldn't be nervous doing the same thing. I'd have a Budweiser on the mound with me.
Does home field advantage mean anything? Is it bad that they are out in Los Angeles?
I don't know. The Dodgers took one at Wrigley. I think the Cubs can take one and at Chavez Ravine. And by the way, I don't like that name for a baseball star. Chavez Ravine, it sounds like an upscale mall.
And how would you say that backwards?
I wouldn't. I'd blow out my mouth.
You spent some time in California, 1 year, and you had enough.
That's right. I was a broadcaster for the Oakland A's, and most people don't understand. They don't know that. It's the one part of my history that's kind of gone under the radar. But, yeah, I did 1 year for the Oakland A's with Charlie Finley, and I couldn't get him to take off those white shoes.
Is that really bothered you?
Yeah, it looked like he was going to Florida.
What has turned the Cubs around in the last 2 years? I'm right now knocking on wood, but even if they don't win this series, the last 2 years they've been in the hunt. What is different?
I think they've got smart people in the front office now. Think about this. Ricketts owns a major stock trading company, so he's an analyst. And then he went out and got the best GM in baseball, Theo Epstein. And together, they've got a great future. And think of this, too. From the early moments of this season, Schwarber got hurt. So next year, they add him to the mix. And they also have a team ready to go in the minor leagues. And look, they sent Baez down, and he came back. And look at the player he's become. So there's so much talent on this team, and then they've got a phenomenal manager, Joe Maddon, the best in the game. So this team has a very, very bright future. In fact, it's so bright my eyes are hurting. And you know, with these glasses, any light that gets in is magnified.
Harry, we've talked about what happens if the Dodgers win tonight. They go 3-1, and that's bad news for the Cubs. It's not over, but it's certainly not in a good way.
That's right.
But if the Cubs win tonight and can even up the series, even though they'll have one more game in Los Angeles, does that throw the momentum to their side?
Oh, absolutely. That's why I'm not getting down, you know. But this is a pivotal game, but if the Cubs win it, they come back to Chicago with all kinds of momentum, and the fans are going to be insane at Wrigley. So they're going to be coming back, and it's going to be a great situation. And Bill Murray will be there rooting them on, and John Cusack, and all of the people we know as stars. It's going to be, I'll be there in spirit, of course.
Harry, I want you to speak to a spirit up there in heaven, because I think serendipity is controlled by God, and how could this pivotal game be scheduled right against the last presidential debate?
You know, it's weird. I don't know, you know. Wouldn't it be great if we could have Donald and Hillary throw out the first pitch of a game? Of course, Hillary throws like a girl. Maybe Donald does too. I haven't seen him throw.
Oh, Harry, we've seen those pictures of you kissing Hillary. You can't get away from those.
Well, you know, what can you say? I'm Italian.
Harry, we're about out of time here, but you got to do it for us. For good luck, give it to us.
All right, everybody, let me hear ya. A one, a two, a three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I ever get back. So we'll root for the Cubbies. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Hey, let's get some runs.
And, of course, we do want to let everybody know that the game tonight is 8 o'clock, 8:08 to be exact, on Fox Sports 1, the Cubs and the Dodgers. The Dodgers lead 2-1. It's a pivotal game, so get your clicker ready to go back and forth between the debate and the game. So you got, I guess, CNN and Fox Sports 1. And, of course, legendary Cubs announcer Harry Carey passed away in 1998. But we're always glad to have Ken Cervera on, who does the best Harry Carey impersonation. Ken, it's always good to talk with you.
Hey, Scott, love you guys, man, and thank you once again for having me on. It is an honor, and what a series it would be with the Cubs and the Indians.
Well, I tell you what, hopefully we'll be able to talk again when that is solidified this weekend.
That's right.
Thank you, Ken.
Okay, so long, everybody.
Ken Cervera, and again, don't forget the Cubs and the Dodgers tonight. The Cubs are ahead by, or the Dodgers are ahead. See, I'm wishful thinking that the Cubs are ahead. The Dodgers are ahead 2-1. That's tonight, Fox Sports 1 at 8 o'clock. So like I said, switch back and forth between that and the big debate between Hillary and Donald. And the Indians could clinch it today. They're up 3-1 with the Toronto Blue Jays. They play a little after 4 o'clock, I believe, 4:08. It must be an 8-minute pregame show. They're on TBS in this area, and that's cable channel 41 here in Marion. We are going to take a quick break, come back in just a minute with Sheriff candidate Ron Scheider. So don't you dare go anywhere. Stay with us.
Everybody's talking about Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio, from legendary comedian Kay Ballard, performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the tomb of King Tut, there's a chuck full of nuts and McDonald's. At La Scala, they sing by a big Burger King where the styrofoam boxes go squeak. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised a wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
What would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake, Scott? Oh, it's naughty, but it certainly fulfills a certain catty side of all of us. Oh, good Lord. When you think of the gossip sessions you've had with friends over the years, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like putting your hands in front of a lovely fire.
I will do
anything you want, Scott. You know I enjoy being on your show. Look, well, just let me talking and I keep going.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, p.m. right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Join me.
Scott Spears back with you here, 31 minutes past the hour, WWGH Radio, and I do want to remind everybody again that the League of Women Voters Candidates Night, tomorrow night at 7:30, right here on WWGH Radio, it'll take place at the Senior Center, and the doors open there at 7 o'clock. I think they're expecting a big crowd, so you might want to get there early if you want to get a seat. And preceding that program right here on WWGH tomorrow from 7:15 to 7:30 will be my exclusive interview with former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. So it all starts at 7:15, and we're getting a call right off the bat. We're going to take this real quick before we go to our guest. Caller, are you there? Go ahead.
Hi, Scott.
Yes, how are you?
Long time no talk.
Yeah, how have you been?
Good. I just celebrated my 80th birthday.
Hey, congratulations.
It was, a week ago, and I had a very pleasant surprise. My son, he called from San Antonio and says, I've got a package coming up for you. Well, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, my daughter-in-law and my grandkids showed up. So that was great.
Well, congratulations. Happy 80th, and I'm so glad you had a great gift.
Yeah, that was nice. So I spent most of the last few days with them.
I thought you got ticked off at us and just left.
Well, a little bit. Part of it had to do with, you know, what the discussion, the trend of the discussion there was pretty much going to be deja vu. In other words, I would call in and say, you know, I still don't like Hillary, and then you guys would mention Trump, and I would say, I don't defend Trump, and then, you know.
Well, it's been interesting.
After so many times, that gets pretty old.
Well, I tell you, it's been interesting, though, the last few days. We had Alan Lichtman on, who predicted the election, and some other people. But I do want to get to our guest here quickly so we can give equal time. But I'm glad you called in, and I hope you call back.
Okay.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. As I said, earlier on in hour number one, we had Jim Fitzko on from the Fraternal Order of Police here in Marion, And if you don't know, if you haven't read the Marion Star today or any of the Facebook pages or media outlets, a media news bulletin was sent out yesterday to the media outlets from the Fraternal Order of Police here in Marion. And I'm not going to go through the entire thing, but I'll just give you a little bit of it, as I did in hour one, if you're just tuning in. What it said was, from the Fraternal Order of Police on Sheriff Candidate Ron Scheider, the Steve Young Memorial Lodge number 24, Marion County Fraternal Order of Police, is comprised of 149 active and retired law enforcement officers from the Marion Police Department, Marion County Sheriff's Office, Marion County Probation Departments, and Multi-County Correctional Center. Lodge number 24 has an active interest in maintaining the integrity of the Office of Sheriff in Marion County and ensuring that the citizens of Marion County understand that a candidate has less than stellar credentials. And even high, and then there's a list of accusations, we'll say at this point, because we have not fact-checked them independently, but at one point saying Ronald D. Scheider has associated with known criminals, among other things. Those are the accusations, but in fair time, we do want to have on Ron Scheider today to answer that letter that came out yesterday. Ron, it's a pleasure to have you in studio.
Thank you, Scott.
Ron, what, well, let's start here. What did you think when this letter came out yesterday?
I had been tipped off that it was coming out several days ago, so I knew it was coming.
And when you read what was in the letter, what did you think?
I had already been told what was in the letter.
You knew what was coming.
Yeah. Plus, a smear campaign started about a week ago on Facebook, and it had been removed several times by Facebook. They were using fake names. There were sheriff's deputies and city cops on that site, on several sites. And because of fake things, false statements, slander stuff, it was removed a half a dozen times, but they just keep putting it on and on and on. So we were well aware of it.
Why do you think there is this heavy opposition to your campaign?
You know, I can only speculate, and my speculation's no better than yours. What I have heard, that there's I've been told there was a survey or poll taken. I don't know if there was. I don't know who. And that I'm out ahead, and that they have freaked out over it.
Why are they upset? I mean, we have the Republican.
Well, you know, unfortunately, you know, I chose not to make this my number one issue. I've done everything all year long to talk about the drug problem. I've stuck to that. I challenged Bailey as far as I thought what was relevant in the sheriff's department about his leadership style, but I never attacked that man or anybody else personally. And I can't think that I've even mentioned Scott Blau, and this is not what the path that I chose, but they've left me no choice. Historically, as sheriff of Marion County back in the 70s and early 80s, I had a legendary reputation for investigating police officers. We investigated the chief of police back then for corruption. We investigated 7 or 8 city police officers for corruption. We have investigated many sheriff's deputies, some who worked for me. Then when I left and became a private investigator, I again was retained and investigated police departments all over Ohio, not just here. But there's very few private investigators in Ohio suited and qualified to do that. I was one of them. But as a PI, I investigated the sheriff personally, Bailey, and deputy sheriffs for infractions and things. And then later, when I became a founder of TV22, and you were here, you know how that played out. We investigated a major who's now the chief. We investigated several things with the police and the sheriff's department. So historically, in every job I've had, coincidentally, it put me in a position where we conducted investigations. And the cops are not above the law, and they don't like it when they get investigated because they have all the power. And they go out and investigate the common folk every day and think nothing about it. But when it comes time for someone to scrutinize or look at what they do or look over their shoulder and say, how this play out, they fight back. And that's what they're doing. Because of whatever circumstances make them think I'm a hit, and I don't know what that is, but whatever it is, they're scared to death. Because if I'm elected sheriff, they're asking themselves, is he going to continue to do what he's always done? And the answer is absolutely. I've campaigned starting back in March and conducted a door-to-door campaign throughout the spring, throughout the summer. They totally ignored me, but I was out there gone door to door talking to people. And then from the fair on up into September, now all of a sudden they're paying attention because they think that they don't have this one automatically. And what have I been told while I've been going to door to door? I have allegations of corruption now with Marmette, sexual violations of law with girls who are addicts conducted by members of Marmette. I have allegations of money coming up missing and drugs being seized from people, but no arrest. And I've heard that so many times. Would I be looking into that stuff? You bet I would. And they know that. Now, they're upset about it. They're going to fight back. I don't quarrel with them fighting back, but I don't like how they're doing it. If they wanted to do a legitimate endorsement or a vote of no confidence, interview the candidates, submit questionnaires like the media or anyone else normally would do, and base it on something that makes sense. I never was contacted by them. I never was shown any allegations. I never was allowed to give my side. They blindsided me. It's called an ambush. And the method they're using tells the story. And the crazy part of it is they started this after 6,000 people have already voted. Now, why didn't they start this a month ago and give the early voters a chance to hear this?
Because the interview with Jim Fitzko, the president of the FOP, just happened under an hour ago, a half hour ago. I don't have transcripts or word for word, but and if I misrepresent anything, somebody tell me.
Right.
But what he said in regard to the question of police officers doing bad things was that you didn't name any of that, name anybody in that, and maybe that's why.
Well, let me provide some names. Let's start with him. Jim Fitzko was arrested by the Ohio State Highway Patrol in 1999 for drunk driving after he was a cop. He was allowed, and a lot of agencies would not do this, he was allowed to remain a policeman. And, it, you know, the ironic part, I heard part of your program earlier where he said I wouldn't be qualified to be hired by the Marion Police. Well, my age probably would be a disqualifier. But the ironic part is to run for sheriff, you have to go a special background. You not only have to file with the Board of Elections, but you got to file with the Common Police Court. They run FBI checks, BCI checks, your own checks. And one of the things you can't have been found guilty of is a first-degree misdemeanor or felony. Jim Fitzko is found guilty of a first. He wouldn't even qualify to run for sheriff. And that's what I'm trying to say, Scott. They're pointing their finger at me for things that they can't even muster up.
Well, just assertion, I want to make sure that we have this right on the record.
Right.
Now, when he said if you applied for a job with the Marion Police Department, you would not be hired because of your record, is that true in your eyes?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
And what, just based on you, why isn't that?
Well, I mean, I would be only because of my age, obviously, but that's a given, right? Mm. You know, I mean, I'm not going to start out as a rookie cop at my age. But notwithstanding what my age, let's say I met their age requirements, yes, I would be hired. I would pass all the felony and misdemeanor arrest checks. I've not been arrested in my life. I don't even have a traffic record, let alone anything more than that. And assuming I was younger and I could pass agility test, I would be hired.
All the accusations that are made in the letter, and again, it's a lengthy letter that was released yesterday. It's in the Star today. I think pretty well completely in the Star. Of all the allegations there, are they true? I think that's the big question.
Well, I don't know. They put some allegations on Facebook, and they're different than some of the allegations in the Star, and they've added to. Let me talk to you about some of the memorable ones that bother me. One, I associate with criminals.
That's one.
That sticks way out there. And let me hack at that first. Okay, and they cite that I let a known burglar or something drive my truck.
Let me pull this up because I do want to, that way okay. It's in the exact words as right. It was from them. Let me pull this up here on the... it says, whereas Ronald D. Scheider has associated with known criminals, in July of 2015, Chancey McMahon was caught driving Schreider's vehicle. In one example, Ron Scheider also had a firearm stolen from his unoccupied vehicle. Therefore, it be resolved that the members of the Steve Young Memorial FOP Number 40. Okay. Okay, yeah.
Let me take both those, then we'll go on.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I had a person come to me. I have a pickup truck. That's all I have. Asked if they could borrow my truck. They had to help someone move boxes or moving. I said, sure. And that was in the afternoon. And they were leaving. I get a call from them and say, this is taking longer than what we think. Can we bring the truck back in the morning? I said, sure. In the middle of the night, apparently they took the truck to Columbus, and this Chancey McCahan, or whatever his name is, was in the truck, who I had no idea of, and he gets arrested for no driver's license. I get a call from the impound lot that my truck is there because they couldn't give it to an unlicensed driver. That's it. Now, I challenge the FOP in Marion, Ohio, or anybody to show that I had prior knowledge whatsoever that a guy with no driver's license was driving my truck. It's not true. And that's, see, if they conduct their police investigations like they did this one on me, this county is in trouble. They're trained professional policemen. And what bothers me, Scott, is they're better than this. They're better investigators. So that tells me they're doing this deliberately as an ambush.
Is in from the violations with the FCC for TV 22, with the civil rights case being violated?
Let me go back to the gun thing and then remind me to not miss this. The gun thing, I did have a gun that I carry on my person. I'm licensed to do so. Stolen a few years ago out of my car. So what? I'm the victim of a crime. Is there some negative connotation that I have somebody break into my car? People have that every day. And that gun got recovered, incidentally, and I got the gun back from the Sheriff's Department.
The TV 22 violations with the FCC.
Okay, they're ambiguous. I mean, you deal with the FCC. We had several infractions with the FCC, but none of them ever resulted in revocation or suspension or anything. Most of them, and you know, based on memory, were we didn't timely file a children's hour report, we didn't timely file an annual ownership of stockholders, things like that. We never were revoked, never were suspended, never were close to it. So one more time, they take something that has a little bit of truth and sit there and make it sound like it's something horrible. Here's the facts. And again, these cops are trained investigators. They know better than this, and they can do better than this. Never had a suspension. Never had a revocation. Had a fine levied one time, and it was even suspended. So we didn't do anything that would result in FCC taking our license. Now, you deal with that. You know how that is. Everything's got to be timely.
It does. Ron Schreider and Associates and his attorney were found jointly liable for over $45,000 in attorney fees after being found to have filed a frivolous lawsuit against the City of London, Ohio,
okay.
And the Madison County, Ohio prosecutor.
It's ironic. I was hired by the City of London, get this, to investigate their police department, right? And we didn't conduct that investigation as a private investigator. We found different people in London, Ohio Police Department involved then in conducting and organized gambling activities. One of them was the mayor's son. We billed several billings to the city. They paid us throughout the cycle. And then on the last billing, when the mayor's son got involved, the mayor kicked up his heels, didn't want to pay. We sued them. We sued them for failure to pay their last bill installment. And because they were mad at me because I caught the mayor's son. And then as we went into court to sue for that, their attorneys wanted my client list to see if anything they said about me, any slander, did it really affect the number of clients. I refused to give them my client list because I was caught with another law that says that's confidential. So in consultation with my attorney, I said, we're going to refuse. What's the penalty if I don't give them my client list? Because I got to protect the name of my clients. They said, well, then you just got to drop the case. We dropped the case. The other side filed against us for filing a frivolous lawsuit based upon, if you dismissed it, it must not have been a good one. Well, back then there was no case citations or case law on frivolous lawsuits. In fact, we made the case. We are the case law. And we took that all the way to the Supreme Court, and the ruling was no, you caused them to pay legal fees, and then you failed to prosecute your case, therefore you have to pay. So that's what that was.
In equal time, we're flying right by. We only have 12 minutes left, and I want to open up the phone lines like we always do. 740-383-9944 if you have a question. 740-383-9944. Ron Scheider is the guest. 12 more minutes.
Now, there's another one that really bothers me about, but I involved myself, or I impeded a murder investigation by telling a witness not to cooperate. That probably, of all everything, really bothers me, because anyone that knows Ron Scheider knows I would not do that. Here's what did happen. This was, I was at TV 22. There was some kind of a stabbing in Marion. We had a TV crew there. As always, I'm always there. And while we're filming and trying to look around, see who saw what, some guy comes up to me and says, hey, man, the police are harassing me. They're trying to say I said something I didn't. Do I have to talk to them? I said, no, you don't. Now, to this day, I never had one policeman ask me about that statement, investigate me about that statement, let alone charge me. I heard that for all these years later from the FOP. That is a joke. I have every right to tell that guy, no, you don't have to, because everybody knows they don't have to.
Jim said earlier on, because there were some assertions made on Facebook, that Bailey and Blau might be in on this. They are members of the FOP. He said they did not ask for the vote, and they were not a part of the vote.
Well, that's easy to say and hard to prove. Here's what I know, Scott. I wasn't there. I'm not a member of the FOP. That is a, and I heard Jim's saying that was a union and they were all official. That is a union, but that also is a fraternal, non-official, private organization where they do have a clubhouse. They have a bar. It's not a licensed bar because it's a private club. They don't have to be. But that's a place they go out and drink. Do they conduct any union business? I'm sure they do from time to time. But you don't need a spread like that hidden out in the woods on a bunch of acres to conduct union business. We all know what the FOP is. I also heard him say the sheriff can or cannot be a member, and they usually come through the ranks. I never was a member of that all the years I was sheriff. They're the negotiating arm for the sheriff's department. Why would a sheriff be a member of that when he has to negotiate for the county? He's not representing the deputy's interest. He's a county official. And when they go into negotiations every few years, the sheriff represents the commissioners. So the sheriff should never be sitting on a member of the union that he has to negotiate citizens of county. So I don't think that's right. But here's the problem. I can't say this enough. As a sheriff before, I had to conduct many investigations of police corruption and wrongdoing. As a private investigator for 30 years, I had to do the same. As TV 22, we had to conduct investigations against the current chief. Jay McDonald's wife was one of those deputies, and he's the president of the state. His own wife took a disability retirement from the sheriff's department and then had the audacity to try to use his influence and get her a job with the attorney general, knowing that that was wrong, and they found it out and she didn't get the job. But it shows you the influence that organization tries to pull. My message is this: what they say about me, they say about me. But who are they living in the glass houses they do? Deputies have their cars repossessed just like the public, and foreclosures, and make mistakes, and heartache, and divorces, and loss of children in custody. They've had their cars repossessed right out the sheriff's department. So they have the power, and they have the power over the people, and they exercise that, Scott, every day in some little things and in some big things. But boy, let you look at them and where you're putting them under scrutiny for allegations made, they freak out, and they're just not you. It throws them off script, and they do crazy things. FOP, 21 people met. 21 people met. They did everything they could do to get a unanimous decision. And after all the pressuring and everything they did, they could not get a unanimous decision. 21 people out of 149, not a real fair representation. I heard you ask Fisco three times, was it more than 20? Was it close to 100? He dodged that question every time, and he just said it's more than 20. Well, he's correct, 21.
And you know this how?
Because I was told by people who were there.
And do you think this was done to railroad you?
Well, absolutely. Railroads, yeah, here's what they're trying to do. Call it whatever you want. They don't want Ron Scheider elected sheriff. Ron Scheider is the one who, three different careers, investigated officers of their department. The last thing they need is me in there again. As long as Sheriff Tim Bailey's been sheriff, they've never been investigated. As long as John Butterworth's sheriff, they've never been investigated.
So you want to investigate them?
I'm going to investigate allegations, as I told you earlier. As I've campaigned, I've talked to numerous girls that have told me that people Omar met have forced them into sexual favors. And I've not heard this from one or two girls. I've heard it continuously. I happen to believe that there may be merit. That requires investigation. If that's true, that's wrong. That's dead wrong. I've heard that people are getting stopped and have their drugs taken, and they have their money taken. I'm okay with that if that results in an arrest. But when that don't result in an arrest, where do those drugs and money go?
Again, telephone lines are open. 6 minutes left if you want to call in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Because of this, their letter, your letter yesterday on Facebook, it's not the most pleasant relationship. You passed Jim as he was leaving the studio today and wouldn't shake his hand.
No, you didn't hear the comment.
I didn't hear that. What was the comment?
The comment, well, good luck, Mr. Scheider. And I said, you don't mean that, Jim.
Well, how do we, can we patch this relationship up when it's over?
Well, if I'm elected sheriff, Jim Fisco and the FOP is not going to run the police or the sheriff's department. They might think they are, but behind that FOP or the other 130 that you didn't hear from, and they're good people. There's many good city police officers, and I want to make that clear, and I know them. There's many good current sheriff's deputies, and I know them. And I'm smart enough to know this doesn't reflect the sum total of the Marion City Police or Sheriff. It's not true. But you have a few bad apples. The bad apples are leading the FOP. Jim Fisco, the very guy that got arrested for drunk driving, and if a new person tried to apply for the Marion Police, they wouldn't hire him. Jay McDonald, the state president, tries to pull a little scam with getting his wife a job that he shouldn't have tried to get her. Those are the people I'm upset at.
Let me get the call in here.
Go ahead.
Because we don't want to run out of time. Go ahead, caller.
I just had a comment. I've lived in my location here for 41 years. The only politician I've ever had knock on my door to talk to me was Mr. Scheider last week. He seemed, I appreciate what he feels about the drugs and everything. And to me, this FOP thing was a sewer-level shot.
Well,
I just wanted to make that comment.
I thank you for calling in, and anybody else can make a comment. We're down to about 4 minutes.
Thank you.
740-383-9944. Okay, Ron, continue on with what you were saying.
Scott, I mean, I guess you'd have to travel with me like that gentleman that called.
Oh, we're getting a call. Let's get the calls in here because we want to hear what they have to say. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yeah. I guess I remember in 1999 when Fisco was arrested, they never really came out with a lot of things. But I guess my questions I've always wanted to ask was he, they call it weapon under disability, and I know a lot of off-duty cops have a weapon even when they're off-duty, and they never specified that. And he only got 3 days in jail for the whole thing, and I kind of wanted to know if that was house arrest or he was actually put in jail. I guess that's my comment.
Thank you. We'll answer the question. Stay tuned. Okay.
I don't honestly know the answer. That is a very good question. I just don't know if he spent time in jail or if he did house arrest.
And we'll try to get the calls in, like I said, 740-383-9944.
But if we don't have a call, I just want to...
We don't right now. Go ahead.
The gentleman that called in, I mean, it's just like I said, I did go to I want to say thousands, but I have no way of tracing it. I know hundreds and hundreds of doors. And when you go to someone's home on their environment and they're comfortable, they tell you things and they want to share stories. And sometimes they have no methodology, no chance, no opportunity. And you learn. You learn where the dope houses are. You learn of their bad experiences they may or may not have had. And I heard some things out on that campaign trail that are troubling. And I've heard a lot of things about Mary and Marmette. Now, they're in charge of this drug problem. And if we've got a breakdown there, of all the places to have it, that is not the place, not in the middle of a drug epidemic. And people, Scott, are afraid. You ought to hear them tell me, I am afraid. They're cops. What can I do? I'm afraid to say anything.
I do want to ask, I've asked you this before, and I do want to ask again, have we ever gotten the statistics on Marion? As far as
you know, Scott, I sent you asked me that before, and I sent some down here.
I never got them. I would love them today. If we get them, okay. We'll talk about them but tomorrow.
Let me talk about statistics with Marion. Notwithstanding, I can't give them to you right now.
Right.
But everybody knows, and it's been said, and CNN profiled us, Fox National News profiled us, and the storyline is how can a small county such as Marion, we are small, we're average and almost below in Ohio, have such a huge problem? Now, fortunately. Because of Narcan, which is the life-saving drug, the resuscitate, deaths are down, and that's excellent, and that's what it's supposed to do, and it's working. But the problem is not down. The overdoses are up by almost 50%, and the number of people continuing to fall into that pool of heroin addicts is growing. And by some estimates, there's over 4,000 heroin addicts in our city and county.
Caller, go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering. Thursday night at the debate. Is it a regular debate head-to-head, Ron?
No, Scott could better understand that, but I think it's more of a candidate's night where we each get 1 minute and then submit the questions.
The questions is, I don't even know the questions. The questions are submitted.
I just submit questions. I was just wondering if it was going to be.
Hopefully, I can pronounce all the words tomorrow.
I wish there was a debate.
That's what I've been wanting to say.
And I'll reiterate.
I'll
reiterate my challenge to both sheriff candidates, Scott Blau and Tim Bailey, that I'd like to see a three-way debate.
Exactly. Just on the sheriff's election. I'm afraid, I think.
I will say this. I do want to say this, that the it does follow a debate format in that if a question is asked of all three, there are five races up there. Each member gets a certain amount of time to answer that question. But if it's asked specifically of a person, then it can go for a rebuttal to the other person and then back to the original person who asked it. So that does follow a League of Women Voters debate format. So partially
this whole campaign is reminding me right now of what's going on with Hillary trying to screw Trump over.
Well, you have to watch that debate tonight and listen to ours tomorrow.
Yeah, no guarantee, but I think Ron's getting screwing.
Well, we appreciate your opinion.
You will win, Ron.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you, sir. I want to say to you, Scott, because I don't want you to think I made a remark on Facebook that this conspiracy on Facebook started with some deputies from the sheriff's department and a city policeman and Scott Blau, people, and the help of a small radio station. Some people thought I meant you. I was talking about WDIF and Spencer Phelps. I want to make it clear that I wouldn't say anything to them or you that I wouldn't say to your face.
Well, we do try, and honestly, we do try to be unbiased, and we want to give people equal time, and that's what hopefully we've been able to do today.
Scott, let me reiterate, I've had a long career. It's not been easy. None of it's been easy. I've had to do some pretty daring things. It's tough when you're a sheriff and you have to investigate federal police officers. None of them like that. You lose friends. People think that you got different motives. But you have to do what you have to do. And that's a hard walk, and I've done that so many times. In every profession that I've had, it's just ironic. PI, TV, they all have investigative responsibilities. But these people fight back. They hold all the power, and they're not used to Fisco in here. What would he have said if you'd have said, Jim, well, you're banging on Ron Scheider, let's talk about your DUI. What do you think he'd have done, Scott?
Well, he's free to respond. Yeah, I don't know if he's listening now.
He knew you didn't know. What if you ask, what about your boss, Jay McDonald? And they say, well, the sheriff can join a union. No, a sheriff shouldn't join a union. He has to negotiate against.
Well, like I say, not to keep something rolling, but anybody who wants to respond to anything, we do have the phone line, 740-383-9944. You can email me a statement if that's how you wish to do it, Scott at WWGH1071.com, or go to the Facebook page and send the message there. We can handle it any way you like, and anybody can request time to answer anything they want have heard on this station, any accusation. Now, we can probably fit one more call in if somebody wants to do that, 740-383-9944. Ron, I do want to ask you, though, when it comes to the FOP and Jim Fitzko and Sheriff Bailey and Scott Blau, the people running for sheriff, 20 days left now, the debates, the candidates' night, we'll call it that. Debate candidates' night, people can call it what they want. We'll find tomorrow. It's this race is, in my opinion, personal. Can we keep it out of this gutter? Can we keep it up?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't look at it as personal. I don't dislike Tim Bailey personally. I've known Tim Bailey all of his life. Scott Blau, I don't know, but there's nothing there for me to dislike. I don't know. I think I met him maybe for 1 minute at the fair. It's not personal. It's business. It's professional. And I can keep it out of the gutter. What the FOP is doing to me, that's not going to form the kind of sheriff I'm going to be. I've been around the block a long time. I'm going to fight for what's right. I'm going to investigate crime on behalf of the citizens, including cop crime. I don't care what size or shape or color the badge may be. If it comes to my attention and it meets the prima facie protocol of a crime, I'm investigating it. If it doesn't make them happy, too bad, so sad. The same thing they do every day to the general public. But part of what I want to do, you know, sheriffs come and go, chiefs of police come and go, patrolmen like Fisco come and go, they're a blink of the eye. Those departments go on forever. And I have every intention of pulling this together to the extent that I can. But my job as sheriff is going to be to do the best I can. And if I can work with Marion Police, work with the current deputies, that's the first shot I'm going to take out of the gate. I want to do that. Can I do that? I don't know. I know I can try.
And I do want to reiterate again tomorrow, 7:30. It will be broadcast exclusively here. This is the only place you're going to hear Candidates Night, folks. 7:30 tomorrow night, October the 20th. You can listen on the net if you're not in the listening area. 107.1 FM is the over-the-air numbers, but you can get it on the net, WWGH1071.com, or on any mobile device, download the free TuneIn app and search WWGH. Now, aside from the sheriff's race tomorrow, there will be a clerk of courts race that will be there. That's Julie Cagle, Chris Kosotis, and Tom Stotts. We do have two commissioner's races, Andy Apfelfeller and Lynn Thomas, and Dan Russell and Kerr Murray, and we also have the prosecutor's race with Brent Yeager, Mark Russell, and
Tom Edwards,
right. Warren, I always want to call it, is Warren, isn't it? Yeah, Warren, Tom Edwards. They'll all be there tomorrow night, and guess what? I don't ask the questions, I just read them. So you ask the questions tomorrow, and there is a number, I believe it was in the newspaper yesterday, so just search it online. You can get it. You ask the questions if you want to know something. Tomorrow's the night to do it, 7:30. Thank you, Ron, for coming on. And that's all for this day. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
In the spirit of Halloween and fall, it's now time for a Halloween poem reading right here on WWGH Radio by Charlie Evers, Marianne Michaels, Martha Douse, Mary